This is the No Swear Gamer from YouTube and the Atari 7800 Game by Game podcast, and you are listening to the podcasting pride of the Smoky Mountains, the Two Dudes in a Ness, with your hosts, Dude Michael and Dude Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, that's me. Hey, Michael. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. What's going on with you?
I'm sorry, what's up, dude? I'm sorry, I was supposed to say what's up, dude.
Yeah, you're supposed
I'm
to
so confused.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Right.
Right?
What's up, man?
The way we always do?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, I forgot the Tom Arnold intro. Oh, I didn't post. Don't worry. Hey, you know what?
You forgot what?
I forgot Tom Arnold. You know, Tom at the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
We have Tom Arnold now. He introduces the show.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. Better than Tom Arnold, though, we've got Brother Tyler on the show with us.
That's a tall order to match up to. What's up, dudes? Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. We're going to talk about Adventure Island tonight, I think. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the plan, man.
That's the plan. All right. Real quick, we had a mixed up intro. Brother Goose Poop, that's your fault. We're still working our issues out. So, just so you know, if you're listening, Brother Goose Poop, still got a bone to pick with you, sir. Speaking of bones, Adventure Island.
Well, you know, here, before we get into Adventure Island, we got to clear the air here. Because today, Tennessee lost another coach. like 15 years or something?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, are we counting interim coaches? Because that adds a couple more, I think.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, just back down to the pit of despair. I'm sure we'll have an easy time finding a coach that wants to come to us now that we're going to have all these violations and suspensions, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be knocking at the door. They want to come to a university that's had four coaches in the last, 6 years or whatever.
I did see some article that said that Jeff Fisher may be interested in the job. Is that anything or is that nothing?
He was Titans coach, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. But is that anything?
No, it's not anything.
Or is he just being nice?
He's probably doing the...
It was on a radio show.
John Gruden.
He's on a radio show and somebody said, you know, would you be interested in the Tennessee job? And he said something about, like, to the effect of, well, if Pruitt wasn't there, yeah, I would be interested. But I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, what are you going to say on air? Are you just going to be like, no, hell no, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I mean, I suppose they're going to come and let you do whatever you want to do when you walk in the door, right? They're like, yes, whatever you need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you'd think. Either way.
Well,
not to
I
get
don't
on
that. I know. Well, you know, that's what the listeners are here for. They love to hear us talk about the Tennessee Vols, all, you know, three of them that maybe actually be Vol fans out there. I know that's why Tyler listens to the show.
A team that's not been relevant in 15 years as well. So.
Yeah, nothing no, like talking about the an irrelevant team.
It's exciting to hear about the rest of the world when you stay cooped up inside all the time. So,
okay. Yeah. we'll hang our hat on that. All right. Okay. So, I got other tangents actually. You know, now that you mentioned it, Justin, if you just want to go on a tangent train, or do you want to go ahead and get into some history? What do you want to do?
I'm here. I'm for whatever.
Okay. Well, let's go on a tangent train because I got a little segment that we've done a couple times, and I think, you know, Tyler may be able to help us out with this. It's Ask Dr. Justin. Yeah. I mean, we are in COVID times, so no better time to ask a question.
We need a Two Dudes House band, like, to just play us in. Like, I know we've got great segments, you know, especially, but I think
the
a good
gamer.
House band.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah. I think a good, maybe the No Swear Gamer could, like, start a house band.
Yeah, he could be like the bald guy
Paul
with the glasses? Yeah.
Paul Schaefer.
All right.
All right, No Swear Gamer. Can you be our Paul Schaefer?
Anyway,
All right, I'm only gonna go with four questions tonight.
Okay.
So don't worry. The first one comes from Joseph Biden, not to be confused with Joseph Biden. This is Biden. Don't worry. He asks, pool or shower farts?
Pool.
Okay. Tyler, care to chime in?
I don't know if the questions of go for a, like go for a pool, play pool. Or fart in a shower.
I don't know either. I just read them as they come. You know, it just says pool or shower fart.
Actually, I don't like shower farts at all because it just gets trapped in there. It's with contained the hot water.
Right.
It's too stinky.
Swimming pool, it's like, hey, look what I just did.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless, it's funny. Unless a little something comes out, and then you're like, then you can really say, look what I just did.
Now we got to close the pool for a day. It's always funny when you're at a public, I've not been to a public pool in a while, but it's always funny when they have to, you know, close the pool suddenly one afternoon. It's like, we all know what's happened.
Little Hershey bar got in the pool. All right. All right, let's go with another one. This one is from a Donald J. Osefitz. Yeah, I bet you thought I was going to. I bet you thought it was maybe coming from somebody else, but it's not. Don't worry. How many chickens would it take to kill a lion?
I mean, it's got to really overwhelm it, right? It can't just be like 30, because like 30, I think a lion would just kill pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, so you can take two approaches. You can take, is he going to just kill them? And how many will it take to overwhelm him? Or how many is it going to take for him to get full and fat and tired and just want to give up?
Maybe like 200.
Okay. We'll go with 200 then.
Angry unless, chickens.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. Tyler, how angry are these chickens?
Yeah, that's true.
Or are they trained?
Chickens are pretty vicious. If you ever watch like videos of chickens like killing mice and stuff, they're pretty ferocious.
No. I've been around a few chickens that I didn't want to be around anymore.
This is awkward. They were just bringing up awkward conversation. Or...
Yeah, they kept asking me about shower farts. I was like, geez, chickens, relax.
Oh man, I gotta get away from this chicken. It's making racist jokes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got another one here. Don't worry. This one is from Mike Fence. Mike Fence asks, brushing your teeth or wiping your butt, which one would you get rid of? If you couldn't do one, which one would you get rid of?
Well, this is easy. Wiping the butt, because I could just get a bidet.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to throw a wrench in there. What if you had to brush your teeth with toilet paper versus wipe your butt with a toothbrush?
I think I'd rather wipe my butt with a toothbrush, because I mean brushing your teeth with toilet paper is just gonna get all stuck in your teeth.
Okay. All right. Tyler, care to chime in?
I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Because I guess a toothbrush could get stuck places. I don't know.
That was my thought, you know. Could get caught in the forest. You never know. All right. One more.
Honey, come help me with something.
Yeah. Okay, one more. This one's sent in by Anonymous. Which body part should be detachable?
Ears. So you can just stop listening.
Yeah, it's good. Everybody that downloaded this podcast is wishing for that exact thing.
Right.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to. It's been a while since we've done that segment. I just felt like it was needed.
In my line of work, where hearing aids are commonplace in people that I see all the time, and I've run into the scenario where, you know, the person with the hearing aid, it's like the battery's dead, or it's it's over across the room or something. And they don't even have to act like they, you know, agree with what you said. They just say, I can't hear you.
Yeah,
it's kind of a nice little cop out.
My mom has hearing aids, and I fully believe that she purposely turns them off. Like, oh, sorry, I gotta go.
Battery's dying.
Yeah.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, it's funny. Amber's grandfather used to do that. He would literally just, he would not even pretend to fake it. He would just reach up. You'd see him reach up. He'd just turn it off, and he'd take a nap. Genius.
That's the perk of being older, is you can just not care anymore about people's opinions.
Yeah, you just don't care about anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some history. You want to?
All right.
Now it's time for Justin's historical tidbits and trivia. Time to get out your D-pad notepads, because you're about to get schooled by the doctor.
If you're wondering why I keep turning around, I keep waiting for my dog to come back. She's not come. She's been gone for a while. She may have escaped.
Uh-oh. Hey, yes. Tangent. Hold on. Tangent. Have you seen the Mike Tyson's mysteries where they're talking? Where the one of the mysteries is the dog goes missing.
I've seen the one where they're like trying to pick which one, and the dog,
that's
like,
what
goes
I'm,
missing
that's what
and
I'm
gets run over.
Yeah, and the pigeon's like, let's not do that one. Let's go back to the other one.
That show is so good. One of my favorite scenes that was from an episode I was watching a couple days
ago. Tangent
alert! The pigeon, Marcus was trying to fly up to the ceiling to get a bug. Have you seen that one?
I don't think I've made it to that one.
Oh, okay. Well, he's trying to like fly up to the ceiling to get a bug, and he keeps going, and he keeps doing that like, you know, 4 or 5 times, and then finally the pigeon comes walking around, and he goes, is one of you crapping in the kitchen again?
Oh, man. I love that show so much.
For your recommendations, I've just begun my deep dive into that show, and
it's such
my mind around it.
It's so funny. I just think it's funny that Mike Tyson agreed to go on it, because in the show, he's an aloof, like, just, you know, dumb guy.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's so.
How much he paying me? Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But it's so good. I mean, but anyway, Norm
McDonald.
That's what
I was dumbstruck when I first started watching. I'm like, man, he sounds like such a moron. But
yeah.
He just must not care.
Yeah,
he does. I don't think he cares. I mean, he could kill somebody with one swing of his arm, so I'm pretty sure he didn't really care about much else.
That's true. All right, so back to history. So
as
we've become accustomed to, and shows with guests, we have a quiz game.
Oh boy, I got my butt whooped last time, so I'm a little nervous.
See if I'm prepared or not.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so we got 5 questions. Each question is multiple choice. When you think you know the answer, you can buzz in. You don't have to wait for the answers to be read. But if the person gets it wrong, then the next person can hear the answer choice before they answer. And you buzz in by saying your name. All right, here we go. Question number 1. There were 2 sequels made for this game on the NES. How many were made for the Famicom? Is it A, 1, B, 2, C, 3, or D, 4?
Mike. I'm going to say 4.
That is incorrect.
Shoot.
Tyler? I'm going to say 2.
All right, we got to open it back up again. Mike, you want to go 1 or 3?
I'm going to go 3.
It is 3. So there were 2 sequels made for Adventure Island for the NES in the series, but they actually made a fourth game in the Famicom and never made one for the NES.
It almost always has to be more in Japan than here. That's why I went high to begin with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's number 1.
This game
was a partial port of the game Wonder Boy, but Hudson Soft did not get the full rights, only had partial rights, so they had to change the names of some of the characters as well as the game name. What game company released Wonder Boy? Is it A, Acclaim, B, LJN, C, Konami, or D, Sega?
Mike.
Tyler.
Mike.
I'm pretty sure it was Sega.
It's Sega.
Boo. I was afraid to say it, but I figured I'd get struck by lightning or something. But
all right, so Mike's got a 2-2 lead here. All right, so as we were saying, this game was a partial port of the game Wonder Boy because of the rights, and the new character in the Famicom version was Takashi Mijin, the name of the main character in the Famicom version. That was the same name of a guy that had what role with Hudson Soft? Is it A, CEO, B, Chief Developer, C, Spokesman, or D, Chief Composer?
Tyler? Wasn't it the Spokesman?
It was the Spokesman for Hudson Soft.
On the board.
That's 2-1. All right. Pressure's on now. As Mike with 2 and Tyler with 1. So question 4. While it was released by that S word, the Wonder Boy game rights were actually partially purchased from the developer that went by what name? Is it A, Escape?
Tyler? It's Escape.
It is Escape. Look at Tyler with the comeback. Right. 2-2.
Getting nervous.
So that means
I forgot my water. That's why I'm having problems here. I forgot my water. Is there one question left? Can I go get my water?
It's one question.
Okay.
Comes down to the final question.
I'm so parched.
Yeah. Who currently owns the rights to this game? Is it A, Nintendo? B, Hudson Soft, C, Sega, or D, Konami?
Mike? Gonna go with Konami.
It is Konami! The win!
Yes.
I had no idea.
I just assumed since we've not seen it since that it had to be held by somebody who is not releasing games right now.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's Konami currently owns the rights to the Adventure Island.
Is Hudson Soft still around?
I think that's why Konami owns. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, I'm going to look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure Konami bought Hudson Soft. Maybe.
Okay.
Let me look.
All right. You look it up.
I've been waiting for this game to get some sort of remaster or at least get put back on like the Switch, because I feel like this is a good game for the Switch.
Yes. Konami owns the assets to... Well,
there you go.
To Hudson Soft. But anyway.
That's probably why we haven't seen it. Because Konami just likes to sit on things, it seems like.
Yep. They're just going to release them all one day, just like... So, Mike, did you own this game as a kid? Or did you go on a giant quest to find...
Now it's time for the thrill of 8-bit discovery with Michael's quest to find the cart.
Well, I did not own it as a kid, so I did have to go on a little bit of a quest, just a little one. I was just vacationing, you know, on an island of adventure known as, I can't think of the name of an island right now. Okay. the Bahamas. Bermuda?
Star Tropics.
Yeah, Star Tropics. Yeah, there you go. The Bermuda Triangle Island? I don't know. And I was on vacation. It was in the sand. I don't know. This is stupid. Why do I continue to do this to us? This is so dumb. I did not have it as a kid, but I rented it a ton from Pick-A-Flick, which we'll talk about here in a minute. So I did have a lot of experience with it, but no, I didn't have it as a kid. But because of my frequent rentals, as I grew up and got a little older, I decided to pick it up. So I picked it up later in life. I don't remember exactly when. I'm pretty sure I probably got it. Seeing as how I wanted it pretty quick, I probably got this one at the Sweetwater Flea Market back in the day. So that'd be my guess where I got it.
Think you got a big cheap price on it?
Probably not. I don't know. We'll talk about the price later in the show, but I'm sure I probably paid about $10 for it. That seemed like the going rate for the Sweetwater Flea Market. They always had these bins. You know, this is... I don't know, this was like when we were in high school, probably. So this was 2002, maybe. Mm-hmm. But they would, back then, the prices weren't all over the place, and people weren't trying to, you know, trying to get all these outrageous prices for NES games. So usually they would just have like this big bin, and it was just all the NES games, and they would just say NES games $5 or 4 for $15 or something like that, and you'd be like, okay,
right.
So that's kind of the pricing, and I'm sure I would have picked this game up in one of those things.
You see that with like Disney movies back in the day. It's like they were just more or less just trying to get rid of them that they had sitting around the house, not trying to sell to collectors or whatever.
So stupid of me not to have bought as many as possible back then, right? But I mean, who would have knew?
Yeah. Well, but I don't know. Do you think this is going to last forever? This bubble.
It can't last forever, right?
I just think of like baseball cards, right? You remember baseball cards in the 90s? Like they were just worth so much. And now they're like, I think they're pretty much worthless now.
Yeah.
I still have an entire couple three-ring binders of them.
I'm
in my attic somewhere.
Yeah, I've got tons. And I mean, they're not worth anything, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's a second comeback that I don't know about. But from what I understand, there's
The difference, I think it's going to fade as people our age get older, because eventually, we're going to stop wanting them, and the people younger than us are not going to want them. They're going to have their own version of baseball cards or NES games or whatever that they're going to be tracking down. I don't know what the kids do these days. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that's interesting because, I don't think that... I think our generation is like the first generation to really do this, right? It's like go back to those retro toys. I don't think our parents like looked back at like their retro toys and wanted to collect them for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my dad didn't really have any toys when he was growing up, so
and all he had shovels, was
Maybe that's why I did so much work as a kid.
Pole stall diggers.
Yeah. That's why I dug so many, I built so many fences and tilled the garden so many times. He wanted to relive his heyday. Like my dad, he bought a bunch of tractors and stuff as he got older. Like he was always trying to buy and sell tractors and things. So that's kind of like a throwback to his upbringing, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're the only generation ever to do this, and we're the only idiots on this planet.
I mean, I guess maybe only is probably not the word that I would use, but should have used. But I guess that it's on such a grand scale. I think that it's just so much more common for people our age to collect old toys, where people that were our parents' age collecting old toys was kind of something that only a few people did.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we have also hit like maybe a perfect storm of internet and people with money and the age and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be kind of like decor. Like people have like a lot of like old fashioned things that they hang on walls and they make centerpieces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with like fashion now too. Like apparently Champion clothing is really popular again. That used to be like,
heck yeah,
you got that stuff at Dollar General or something. At least that's the brand of stores I have out here. But
hey, I saw Reebok's at Walmart now. Speaking of, that was a bit of a shocker to me the other day. I was getting groceries and I was like, Reebok at Walmart?
Right.
And so you immediately bought a bunch of stuff?
The whole house is full of Reeboks now. We all have a pair. Got hoodies and all kinds of stuff. No, I've never been a big Reebok guy. I don't know. Although I did. This is enough tangent, but I got to go at least one more for me. I did have one pair of Reeboks. You probably remember them, Justin, because I had them for about 15 years, and I wore them out. Like there was holes in them, and they were my favorite shoes. And I think I just threw them away maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But I had them back in 2004 until 2019.
Maybe that's a sign to go back to them.
I think it might be, especially now. I got the Walmart number. Reebok on the brain. I think it may be time.
Yeah.
But speaking of going back to, let's go back to the conversation about getting the game. Did you guys have this game? Did you get it? Do you have a cool story about how you got it?
I don't, but I'm interested in what Tyler has to say since he requested this game.
Well, I was racking my brain over this. So when we got our Nintendo, my brother is a few years older than I. So my recollection, most of the games that we owned and bought were kind of purchased with him in mind. So it was like a trickle down effect. And as we're going to get into, this is one of those games that you have to kind of have some skill to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the time that I can remember, you know, talking about our video rental stores and stuff like that, I can remember going to people on this side of the country. I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of it as a Funko Land.
No, never heard of like that.
People on our side of the country will know what it is, but it's essentially, you know, it's like the GameStop that it is now. So you create new stuff. And I have a distinct memory of going in there and, you know, selling old stuff to get new stuff and things like that. And I remember we used to take our controllers and take the covers off and take like rubbing alcohol and clean like all of like the receptors off so they'd be a little bit more responsive. And I can remember bringing in a controller and some stuff to sell it and trying to get this game. And my sister telling the person at the counter that we took the controller apart. And the moment he heard that, he's like, well, I don't want this anymore. You know, and just giving her like the death stare.
Dang you.
But I can definitely say that this is probably one of the first 10 games that we owned when we had a Nintendo. And there's a lot of nostalgia for me. Definitely not a game that I could get too deeply into. But, you know, as we talk more about it, like, I think as I get older and playing this, I could appreciate it a lot more.
That seems like a great transition to a commercial.
I'm Tom Arnold, and I'm impressed that you're listening to Two Dudes and an S.
Time to dig in to some good old-fashioned game discussion.
All right.
All right. I've got one more tangent, and then I'm cut off, all right? But I got to tell the story because Tyler's story about his sister. His sister's selling him out at the games. Now he's probably like 7 or 8. I remember this pretty vividly, that my dad was selling a motorcycle, and it had a propensity to flood when he was trying to get it started, right? And this guy was coming over to try to, you know, to look at buying it, and my dad was trying to crank the motorcycle on it, and I think my dad even said, I don't know, I think it's flooding for some reason. And I was standing there and I was like, oh yeah, it floods all the time.
Justin got the belt that night.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Justin's dad did not beat him, at least to my knowledge.
Yeah.
That's funny. No.
But anyways,
like I was saying, good transition. You were talking about, you know, having it as a kid. Let's talk about our experience with it as a kid, because I know I played as a kid. Sounds like you definitely did. I don't know about you, Justin, but it was at Pick-A-Flick. So, Tyler, let's start with you. You probably got the most juicy content from childhood memories.
I mean, game can be brutal, man. It's one of those things where it's a classic situation. They don't give you enough lives to get deeply into it, and it's what creates its replay value. It's one of those things too where like it's kind of like a you have to get into like the flow with it, because as we'll touch on more and more, like, there's a lot of speed aspects to it. You have to really kind of, when you're moving, you kind of have to like react really quickly. Like I was doing like a timeline thinking about like Mario 2, where when you jump in the air, you can almost like change direction midair a little bit with your little like feet fluttering. And you do that a lot in this too, where you're just like flying across the screen and then you have to jump and you have to like get in between two things. Or you run into somebody, you land on a fire and get cooked. And you're... So, and because of, like, the way that the timer works and that sort of stuff, you have to move really fast, but then you have to be careful, and that leads to lots of mistakes. And I feel like when I was younger, I just didn't have the patience for this game, like, to the extent you need to. I mean, there's... This game is a long game for what it is. I've been playing it a lot more recently, just to get ready for this. And I can't believe how long this game is and how deep it is for the lives and the no continues you get. But the aspects of it with how old the game is, it's really advanced too, I feel like.
Yeah. So yeah, I was kind of in the same boat. Go ahead. I was going to say, I was in the same boat as a kid. I rented it from Pick-A-Flick. frequently-ish, you know, but I don't think I ever made it past the second level with the water and the clouds as a kid, just because it was so brutal, and there was no continue system that I knew of as a kid. I'll mention something here in a minute about the continue system, but yeah, so it was just like I would play it, and I'd die on the second level. Then I get frustrated, and I take it back, and I'm like, I'm never renting this again. I hate this game. It's so stupid, and then I'd be like, wait a minute. You could ride a skateboard in that game, so I'm totally renting it again. You know, that's, or at least that was like 7-year-old Michael's mindset.
It was the concept game for Tony Hawk, but no, what I thought was, and I didn't have any experience playing this as a kid, at least that I could remember. I don't ever really remember playing this. It must have flown under the radar for me. Not one that caught my eye at Pick a Flick, Mike, but. You know, is it plays a lot like it's like an arcade game, in my opinion, but a long arcade game, just like you were saying, Tyler. You know, it's this game is really long for a game that plays the way it does in such a really arcade style. I don't know anything about the game Wonder Boy and how it plays, but I, from my understanding, is Wonder Boy was an arcade game. So I think that, you know, they really kind of kept that arcade style, element of trying to get a lot of points. It's kind of fast paced and not necessarily a whole lot of lives, but they kind of made it into this kind of extended game that you, so that, you know, that was kind of my feeling playing it.
Am I the only one that can't hear Wonder Boy without thinking of the Tenacious D song?
Awesome.
I mean, every time there's been a lot of Wonder Boy talk on this podcast and surrounding this game in this episode, and I feel like I've listened to that song. I've not actually listened to the song, but I feel like I've heard it in my head about 50 times in the last 2 weeks. So, not that I'm complaining
about bread.
That's Wonder Bread.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, you know what? I can hear the listeners screaming right now, even though they've not listened to the episode yet because this is pre-recorded. I can hear them screaming now. We forgot. Or I forgot.
I know.
I forgot the manual. I'm so sorry. But I got it. Don't worry. You guys want to take a steer course towards the manual real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've been.
All right. Well, I guess I'll ask you, Tyler, do you have the manual? I don't have a physical copy.
I do not. I do not have I have the physical copy of the game, but I do not have the book.
Okay. Well, then I will read from the PDF. The story of Hudson's Adventure Island. By the way, it's not just Adventure Island. It's actually Hudson's Adventure Island. And I don't know about you, but you put your games in alphabetical order on the shelf. Do you put Adventure Island in the A's or do you put it in the H's?
Play one in the A's.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking about moving mine to the H's because it is technically Hudson's Adventure Island. Anyways, so the game story. The evil witch doctor has kidnapped Princess Leilani. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Princess. From Master Higgins and taken her to Adventure Island in the South Pacific. It is your mission to help Master Higgins to save Princess Leilani, but it's not going to be easy. On the island, there are forests, mountains, caves, many enemy characters, and traps waiting for you. Can Master Higgins save Princess Leilani from the evil witch doctor? I don't know. I don't know. My Master Higgins certainly cannot.
Can I just say that Master or Princess Leilani sounds a little close to Princess Layla?
Mm.
Leia.
Who's Princess Layla?
Sorry.
Boom. All our nerd points just tanked.
Oh, Eric. Damn.
That's Eric Clapton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the evil witch doctor kidnapped Princess Leilani from Master Higgins? You know, she's his possession. I mean, come on, right. This is 2020. Okay?
Well, his name is Master Higgins.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well,
took
so
her on a Caribbean getaway, apparently.
Yeah. It took her to an island. So the manual's pretty cool. It does show you some of your upgrades and your, we'll talk about those as we talk about the game a little bit, but you guys are right about the, it being arcade-like. I mean, anytime I look in the game manual and I see enemy characters with points next to their name, it's like, okay, this is designed in an arcade-style game. And that's kind of what
except for except for fire. It just says unbeatable. Unbeatable. Fire is unbeatable.
You can't beat that fire. Mm-hmm.
and my favorite, Pooter.
What?
I like that.
The pig character is Pooter.
Oh, Pooter. Pooter's wearing a little bikini, looks like.
Yeah. And a bow tie or some kind of tie. I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, Pooter.
Yeah.
And I thought now that I see Coyote, I was thinking it was a raccoon the whole time, but oh well.
I did too.
I did not realize that it was called a coyote until I looked at the manual.
So, biggest thing for me, I did not read the manual before playing this game, but if you'll look on the last page of the manual, there is a continuing option, and it tells you kind of how to do it. You can access this continuing option by pushing the right side of the movement control button and the start button. However, you are only allowed to use the continuing option after finding an egg which contains the bee somewhere in round one of area one. What in the world are they thinking? What is going on with this game? They make you find a secret bee in an egg in order to continue. And then, on top of all that, you can't just continue. You have to hold down a certain button combination, and it's in the manual on the last page, but they don't tell you where to find the egg. It's just, this is a... It's like if this was an arcade game, it's like they took the quarter that you need to continue and like they stuffed it down in the couch cushion and then like took the couch and put it on the curb and then the trash truck picked it up and then took it to the landfill and then buried it somewhere in the landfill and then set the landfill on fire and then said, okay, there's the quarter that you can continue with, but you have to go find it.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't want you to find that continue.
No, they didn't. It's wild to me. So the entire time I've ever played this game, as a kid, as an adult, playing it for the show, leading up to the show, I never knew about this continuing thing. I guess I never had the manual, and I never thought to look it up. But I was playing it tonight, you know, a little bit leading up to the show, and I thought, okay, I'm not getting very far. I'm going to have to look up some cheat codes or something. And so maybe an hour or two before we recorded tonight, I looked it up and figured out where this egg was and how to do this, and it essentially changed the game for me, you know, because I could continue. You can continue from whatever level you're on. I don't know if you guys knew about this, but it really is a kind of a game changer for this game.
Yeah, this was something I looked up recently also, but no, I definitely didn't know it when I was a kid.
I would have loved to have known about this when I was younger, or even in the last 6 years. Because I do occasionally try to play this game.
It seems like when you're going through the game too, you'll like jump as you're progressing, and there'll just be an egg somewhere, and you're like, oh, okay, I wonder what that was. Yeah, to find this thing too, it's like you have to jump everywhere.
Yeah, basically, or cheat and look it up like I did. Yeah, because there's all kinds of hidden eggs that just appear out of thin air if you hit the right spot when you're jumping around the screen. So, and this is one of them. I'm gonna go ahead and tell everybody right now so they don't have to look it up, because I think this is something that should have been in the game. You don't have to need a cheat code for this. And that it's at the very end of the first level before you get to the G, but when you can still see the G and you're on the last little strip of land, it's at the very beginning of that strip of land. You just jump up in the air and there it is, and you get the B and you can continue from then on. And the game, I don't even say it's easier, because it's not easier. It's just less frustrating, because you can continue from any level at that point.
I wonder if this was a question that the 900 number was called for.
You may be right. All right. So yeah, bottom line is this game's pretty tough. If you play it without getting the continues, you're gonna have to get pretty good at this game. But that's a replay value thing, right? That's part of the replay value of the game.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I just pulled up this... Go ahead. Go ahead, Todd.
No, go right ahead, Justin.
I was going to make a joke, but go ahead, Tyler. You have something more serious to say, I think.
Going through this game now, like I said, when I was younger, trying to have the reaction necessary that this game needs, you know, with the lives you're given, you're just flying through it. You know, we're going to talk about, like, the items that assist you when you're playing it, which are really funny. But when you get deeper into the game, I realize a lot of it is based on like preparation stuff where like you're running through and you're like, you're shooting like ahead of you in anticipation of like enemies being off screen that are just gonna like fly into the screen. And, you know, I did find one kind of cool thing about, I feel like the hitboxes are really generous in this game where, there is like more than a few times where like I should have like run into fire and it gives you like a good portion of your body, like running into it before you get hurt. So I feel like there's some generosity in that too. And then I also liked how when the screen shifts, like when you're going uphill or downhill, it's almost an advantage because you can only throw two weapons at one time on the screen. So if there's multiple people in front of you and you throw, you know, maybe both axes or both of the fires, you have to wait until one of them either hits an enemy or hits the ground before you can shoot again. And if you're going uphill or downhill, they hit the ground faster, so you're able to spawn them a lot faster too. But I feel like that's almost like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. I wonder if those two things, like the hit detection that you mentioned and the number of weapons you can throw, I wonder if those were design choices or if there were limitations of the game. Like they couldn't have so many on screen or something, like, you know what I mean? Or if the box, mm-hmm. the hit detection boxes were like that because the sprites in this game are really big, for one. Like, they're bigger than your normal NES game, it seems like. And so there's more real estate or more CPU power or whatever you want to call it. I've been doing an NES podcast for a long time and I still don't know what to call this stuff. But you guys know what I'm getting at. I wonder if it's a limitation or if they did that on purpose, you know. My gut tells me it's just a happy coincidence, you know, that it was a limitation of the game, but also it kind of makes it in a way.
And I will say too that there isn't a whole lot of slowdown you run into. I remember on a couple stages there's like a bunch of crows flying at you and there's like minor slowdown, and only in those moments too is the flicker really intensified, but outside of that, like, it really doesn't happen. You're moving really quickly and you don't see a lot of those hazards.
This game's really fast. You know, I'd say Sonic the Hedgehog eat your heart out, because this game moves at a clip.
And those legs, I mean, it looks like he's goose stepping really fast.
Yeah, he does.
Flopping them out and in front of him.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, I need a joke. Weren't you going to tell us a joke?
No, I was just going to say that the Master Higgins sprite looks like a plumber on vacation. Like, he's wearing
He's wearing
swim trunks, and he's got a mustache and a white hat that probably says like M&M Plumbing or something on it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was playing it earlier. My wife came into the room. She's like, I don't think I've ever seen Mario do that before. Is he on vacation or something?
Have you guys seen the...
Letting it all hang out.
Have you guys seen the Angry Video Game Nerd review of this game?
No.
Oh my god.
I love those.
He classifies, he's like, this guy's just running around with a big dump in his pants.
trying to pull a Carl.
It's really good.
This game kind of is a wannabe Mario game in a way. It kind of feels like Mario, like when you're throwing your hammers or your fireball thing, it kind of feels a little bit like a Mario with the fire flower kind of a vibe. Mm. At least the vibe of the game kind of feels like that to me.
And you're jumping on clouds, you know, or in the clouds and things. And
yeah, exactly.
Level and,
So while the game kind of feels like a wannabe Mario, kind of got a little bit of a Mario vibe, I had a pretty big issue. I don't know. That's kind of being mean, but the physics of this game they kind of throw me for a loop a little bit. It's very slippery. Kind of floaty. I feel like it's trying to kind of be realistic because you have to be moving forward to jump higher, but you know, and if you just stand still you jump really short, which is kind of cool I guess, but you can kind of game that by just tapping the D-pad and jumping. So I don't know, it's just I feel like this one this game is I don't know, it's I feel like you play it a lot you can maybe get used to it, but then if you go switch to play a different game like a Mario, all of a sudden, all of my knowledge or experience of this game is like gone. And then I go back to this game and it's all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, this one's really slippery and floaty again. I don't know if I'm describing myself very well. The physics thing, too. One more thing. The physics aspect. Like, it feels like they're trying to have a little bit of realism with their physics about the jumping physics, which is kind of, I mentioned earlier, it's kind of cool, but it doesn't translate to the skateboard properly. Like, the skateboard's moving, so you should always jump high while you're on the skateboard, I would think. But you don't, unless you also are tapping the D-pad, just like you do. So I don't know. That also kind of throws me for a loop, because my brain wants to think, if I'm on a skateboard and I'm moving fast, and the game says when I'm moving I can jump high, I should be able to jump high and far when I'm on a skateboard. But it doesn't work that way. It works just like you would be if you're standing still, except for now you're on a skateboard and you're moving.
Yeah, I think that that's what one of the things I was going to say about this game is it's all about timing. This game is about timing your moves to get the most points, as well as just timing to make the appropriate jumps and everything. And in that vein of thought, I would say that that's kind of the arcadeness about it, right? As an arcade game is designed, a lot of times is about timing and kind of keeps you coming back to that same level to try to get it the timing right. And so I think that's really how this game plays, is it's just like it's a platformer, but there's so much to it about just, making sure that you're getting your cuts right, that it's kind of an atypical platformer, really, in that way.
Yeah, and I think it speaks a lot to Justin, where you get hit once you're dead.
Yeah.
You don't have a life bar outside of the timer system with all the food you eat, but it doesn't make any difference. If you get hit by something, you're dead.
Let's talk about that for a second, because my first instinct playing this game is that's a life bar, but it's not. And then my second instinct is that's a timer, which it kind of is, but you get more time when you eat. So to me, it's just Fat Boy's hungry, right?
He's on vacation.
He needs to eat. He's just getting so hungry so fast, riding that skateboard and running with his little legs.
That's the other thing that Angry Video Game Nerd touches upon. He's like, what is this guy's problem? Like, he just like gluttonous, where everything he has to do is to eat stuff. And then he covers like how the items are in the eggs. He's like, oh man, I can't wait to have scrambled eggs and axes.
Yeah,
maybe it's like, he has to consume so many calories. He's like, you come up here and try to do this without consuming 80,000 calories.
That's a good point. He is doing quite a bit. A lot of jumping, a lot of throwing stuff. So he probably doesn't eat a lot of calories. He doesn't like eggplant, though. Eggplant apparently makes him starve to death.
Right. Makes him hungrier.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about it.
The thing is such a riot too. The fact that it's like, all right, so I'm wearing no clothing. I got a cool hat on, but no clothing. But I'm just gonna grab the skateboard and helmet and just fly through this.
And pads.
Safety first.
And pads.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You gotta be prepared.
But yeah, that's a good transition. Let's talk about the power ups for a second. So you get an axe, right? That's the main weapon you get. You get it fairly frequently. You don't really have an issue with having axes all the time. So you get an axe, you throw it. It kind of has like this downward arc too, which is makes it kind of tricky to hit. A lot of games, projectile weapons, they just go straight and all the way across the screen. Well, no, this is kind of, and it's not like the axe in Castlevania either, because like Castlevania's got an up and down arc. This is just forward and down. So the enemy kind of has to be right in front of you or below you, which is interesting. Your other projectile weapon is, I don't know what it is. It's like a swirly fireball thing. I don't know. It's not in the manual, or maybe it is. I'm not looking at it right. But it's like a swirly fireball thing, right? But it does kind of the same thing, but it goes further, I guess, and faster, it seems like. Which plays into the fact that it goes faster, seems like it plays into what you mentioned earlier, Tyler, about how when it's off the screen, you can have another one. So it seems like you can fire that one faster just because you run through it more quickly. But that's really your only two weapons throughout the game, as far as I know.
The fire is so vastly better than the axe in that it blows up the boulders, either the ones that are rolling at you or the ones you can trip over, which just makes, like, an enormous difference. Because it, when the later levels, there's so many different things that they put in front of you as far as like pitfalls and things like that for you to like run into, and then you fall into fire, you get hit by an enemy. The flame can erase a lot of that stuff, especially when you're going up and down the hills and the boulders are falling at you. You can just shoot them with the fire, right, and it just takes them out. The axe can't do that.
Yep.
And you're right. I'm looking at the manual right now. I don't see the fire listed as an available weapon at all.
That's weird.
Which is really, I don't know why that really is. Funny.
But some of the other power-ups are very arcade power-ups, like you guys mentioned. Arcade game, right? So the flower, it doubles your points.
Mm-hmm.
And that you get from the fruit. Milk fills up the energy of Master, because I don't know what that means. I guess it fills up his timer. It
right.
makes him full. Yeah, it's like heavy cream. Putting heavy cream in your coffee keeps you full all day, you know. the honey girl, which I guess was I always considered a fairy, makes you invincible for a while. But I was always afraid to do that. I didn't know that it made me invincible. I didn't know exactly what it did when mm-hmm. I was playing the game. But it your guy doesn't blink. The bee doesn't attack anybody like it does in Chippendale Rescue Rangers, you know, because Chippendale, you get a bee and it attacks people for you. This one just is flying with you. And so I didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know if she was going to make me invincible or not. So I was afraid to run into anybody. So I just kind of let her fly around with me all the time until she left. So I never even used her as an invincibility.
Just a buddy.
Yeah, I just thought she was my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So... But that's pretty much it. There's also the negative eggplant, which is his most unfavorite food, the eggplant. It takes his energy away, which I couldn't tell it was an eggplant choice. In the game. It's an eggplant in the manual, but I couldn't tell that it was an eggplant. I didn't know what it was. It just, I thought it was like the anti-honey girl, right? It's just flying around behind me, sucking my hunger away or adding to my hunger.
I feel like with the manual, if you don't have the manual, you don't know what half this stuff is.
Yeah, which kind of brings me to the graphics point. What did you guys think about the graphics?
My opinion is shades of beige. I just feel like there was so much beige in this game. I don't know, beige. Maybe it just stuck out to me, but the rocks are beige, the character's beige, a lot of the background things are beige. I thought it was pretty colorful, but then again, I like just kept coming around like it just the same beige color just keeps.
Well, it was the 80s,
grabbing
right?
my attention. Well, that's true. I mean, I know this is earlier in the NES life cycle, so, you know, and for that...
Like, I was just thinking more like
good.
The age of beige, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. It's an island, right? So there's going to be a lot of brown. But I do get your point. I think, I'm kind of with you a little bit. I think the graphics, for the time, they're pretty darn good, really. I like the big sprites and stuff's pretty cool. But I love the main character. He's the best part of the game, I think. But outside of that, some of the bosses kind of look weird. They're all kind of samey. And then a lot of the enemies are like uniformly colored, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like they're all the same color, so it's kind of hard to tell what they are. The power-ups don't really they're not very clear as far as what they look like. Like you said, you have to kind of have the manual. So I think I give them an A for effort for sure. And I think the main character is awesome. But I don't know. There's something about the graphics that just don't sit perfectly with me.
I think they do a good job of accentuating the different things that happen to the main character. Like when he trips, his expression changes. Like he's visually like falling forward. When he gets hit by the ice, like he turns blue and he's like flaming. Same thing when he hits the fire. Like you're flying off the screen like that. You know, he has, as you guys had said, you know, he has a helmet and pads on with the skateboard. Like, he's decked out for that. But yeah, the bosses are a riot, because it's like you go from this tropical region to like a completely different environment. And then it's just like this very low animated enemy that's just like moving back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's like, they spend all the time on like the level, and then when you get to this boss, you're like, what is this guy?
And it's the same thing, but just a different head.
Yeah, right.
Multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, we just changed the head. So.
Okay. Well, I don't
know. And I will say, too, I feel like I should have mentioned this during the gameplay. It was almost a godsend getting to the boss, because the levels can be so hard But the moment that you get to where the boss is, you're like, oh, thank God I'm done with that. Because the bosses are so easy.
Yeah, they are easy.
You're just moving back and forth. Mm-hmm. The guy throws a fireball that's not even close to you most of the time. And you're just hitting him in the head, I don't know, maybe half a dozen, maybe 10 times, and he's dead. And his head just falls off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the boss is a little anticlimactic.
It is. I agree. The bosses, if the ones I've actually made it to, were pretty much a cakewalk compared to the levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I have to say, like, is that the witch doctor? Because I didn't get to the end. I don't know what the end of the game is.
No, I'm not talking about the boss of the game. I'm talking about the world bosses.
Yeah, at the end of every area, right?
But I mean, is the witch doctor changing heads?
Like, that's not, what I don't know. Could be.
Took that as? I don't know.
I watched a video of it because, I definitely didn't make it past like the fifth or sixth world, I think, at most. I don't think he looks vastly different. Like his head, I think, is the only difference from my recollection. I think his body down, like, same everything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The main character is probably, I feel like if you put a percentage of how much time they spent on graphics and design of animations and stuff, I think 85-90% of it was spent on the main character, and that's why he's so awesome. And then the rest of it was spent on the rest of it was spent on the game and the levels, and then maybe like 1% was spent on the bosses. I feel like they just did not put a lot of effort. The game would almost been better if there was no bosses after each world and just had like the main boss at the end.
I guess that speaks to that, essentially copying this game from a different one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
You know.
But what about the music and the sound and stuff? I thought the music fit the game perfectly. It was very islandy.
Agreed.
It was cool. It's not exactly something I'm going to be bumping in the car down the highway, but it was perfectly fit to this game.
To go along with a lot of my comments, I think it was very arcadey. As the sound effects were very arcadey. I thought, every time you got food or any item, like it did all, everything sounded very arcadey, kind of loud and kind of upbeat. So I think in that regard, it fit really well with the game.
I was going to say, go ahead.
I was just going to say that is the witch doctor. He's just changing heads.
Oh, okay. So you got to keep fighting the same guy over and over again. That makes sense then, I guess. Okay. It sounds like a cop-out.
I guess he is a witch.
Bit of a cop-out.
Mike, I was going to touch upon the thing with the fairy earlier and how it gives you invincibility. I think the sound switch that they have for when you get the fairy is probably the only reason I knew that I was invincible because like the tempo speeds up. Like, it almost is encouraging you to move faster because of the way the music is. Like, it's really rapid. It's really upbeat. Yeah. So you're like, oh, okay. It's telling me to, like, get moving, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I knew something was different. I thought maybe I was just faster or something, Or I could jump a little bit higher or something. Maybe I could just be an idiot. I'm probably just stupid.
And I do like how each level, based on the location, had like a different song to it. I guess it's the same thing with the eggplant. When you get the eggplant, like the music changes, and it's almost like an uh-oh type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of knew when I got the eggplant, I was like, oh, no, something's not good now. Not to mention the thing has a big frown on its face, but
right.
But yeah, going back to the boss thing, the moment I heard the boss music, I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm done with like this, all this platforming and stuff like that I had to go through.
Yeah, exactly. But the bosses came and go a little too quickly. Yeah.
Right.
Your break is short-lived.
Yeah.
All absolutely. Right. I'm pretty good with the things that I had to cover on the game. You guys got anything else?
No, I think that's...
I mean, we gotta figure out how much this thing costs, too.
Yeah. So, price charting has this game as a loose price, which I had a hard time finding it, actually. But anyway, loose price of average of $10.50.
Okay.
I found it to be a little more expensive, just kind of just Googling and shopping for it, it seemed like it went around more 14, 15, but we'll go with 10.
Okay. I think it's worth it. It's fun. I mean, it's a fun game. It's difficult and frustrating, but I don't know. It's a game that I've gone back to many times over the years. So, and $10 is not a steep price to pay.
I think, yeah, too, like, after you've played the library of Nintendo games, the skills you kind of pick up, like I was touching upon with like Mario 2, just the idea of moving quickly and then jumping and changing direction just a little bit to slow down like your momentum is something that I feel like you use in most platformers, and it's really applicable in this game. Like just the fact that you're moving so fast and you have to be able to slow down and do stuff that once you get like that experience, I feel like this, you can get a lot further in this game than I certainly could than when I was younger. Like I just didn't understand the whole concept of like, you have to move fast, but then you also have to be patient, you know, your reaction time and stuff like that. So I feel like, especially if you get that continue, I feel like it changes, as you'd said, like it kind of changes the game from like, okay, I could probably play this for like 20 minutes to probably playing it for like closer to an hour just because you get all those lives back.
Yep. Yep. I definitely agree. Like my experience with this game throughout my life has been pick it up, play it for 20 minutes, put it down, don't pick it up again for a year, you know, and then pick it up, play it for 20 minutes, and then do the same thing, rinse and repeat. Now, once I got that continue code tonight, I basically just played it for like an hour, you know, just straight, because I could just keep, I didn't have to go back to the very first level over and over again, which is, that's most of the reason why I always put it down. So we'll see. I may end up beating this game one day then, now that I know that there's this continue thing going on. I've never beat
it
before.
Not get carried away.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
That's why I wanted. That's why I wanted on like the Nintendo, the Switch emulator thing they have. Is man, I mean, even if there's 8 levels in this game. I don't know if we talked about how long it is, but I mean, I got to level 5 and I was like, man, this is taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's three to four stages per level.
Doing a demo mode where you could save state, that's pretty key if you want to not get too frustrated or spend a whole lot of time on it, which if you're anything like me, time is a precious commodity. You don't exactly have 5 hours to spend playing Adventure Island anymore. You know? So,
me both, man.
Yeah. But here's the thing. When I play demo mode, I put it on hardcore mode. There's like a switch you can flip. It's in the settings. And you turn on hardcore mode, and it takes off all the save state stuff. That's normally how I play it, especially NES games and stuff. So, but anyways. Justin, you didn't say. Do you think it's worth it?
Yeah, I thought I did. No. Maybe I must have just dreamed it. I said it in my head.
Dream? Yeah. Well, you've been probably dreaming about Adventure Island all week.
I am.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Well, do we have any retrofitted trophies?
You know what this game needs? Some retrofitted trophies.
I have, let me see. I know we got a bunch, surprisingly, from the Facebook group, but I've got 4 myself.
Yeah, we did. I've got 2.
Considering I posted 7. That. Oh, all right. So we got to get rock and rolling. You're going first then, Tyler. Go ahead.
Yeah, kudos to the Facebook group for getting on that so fast.
I know, that's what, an hour
ago?
Yeah,
that was an awesome
ago?
Response, right?
Yeah.
All right, so my first one is Hang 10 Dudes, which is skateboard through a whole level without getting hit.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll piggyback off that. I got Tony Hawk Would Be Impressed, and that is beat the game without ever wrecking your skateboard.
Well, there went one of my trophies. That was my exact trophy. I guess that, yeah. So
great minds think alike.
Yeah, mine was going to be make it through the whole thing with the skateboard. Tony Hawk would be impressed, but anyway.
That's okay. I mean, you can have it too, just because I said it first.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you my other one then. Or okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead though.
My second one is, Barracuda. Because at first I thought the long blue fishes were Barracuda, so... Barracuda is get killed by the long blue fish.
Okay. Nice. So it's not a barracuda?
They call it a Waller, W-A-L-E-R.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is more of like a swordfish, but I didn't know that when I at the time of making this. I like barracuda better.
Question. I'm kind of dumb when it comes to fish. Is it multiple barracudas? Is it barracudas or barracuda?
That's barracuda.
Barracuda. Barracuda. Maybe. So it's like there were 7 barracuda swimming around there. Or is it, or there were 7 barracudas swimming around there. Somebody look that up. Or is it just, is it a school of barracuda? These are things I need to know. All right. We'll let a listener chime in on that one. All right. I've got another one called Bee's Knees, and that is find the continue bee on the first level.
Also, a waller is a large, voracious catfish of the family Silurudae. It's a type of catfish. It's a waller.
Okay.
It's a catfish.
That does not look like a catfish in the game, but...
Not at all.
Okay, if that's what they say.
These things are huge, too. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, Tyler, give us like 4 or something in a row.
Okay. I have one that's called, was that a Smurf? Which is get killed by one of the coyotes.
Ah, okay.
When they run left to right, there's like one that's blue. I definitely did not think that was a coyote that hits you.
I did not either. I know I told you to do 4, but since I've got one that's the same thing. And when you get killed by, I got the one where you get killed by that guy. I thought it was a raccoon. And I said, this raccoon must be running late. And that is get run down by the raccoon. Because it's like running super fast from behind you. Like he's in a hurry. Like he's late for dinner or something. All right. Go ahead and give us another.
Okay. This one is say hello to my boomstick, which is kill 20 enemies in a row with your axe.
Nice.
Nice.
Can I go again?
Yep. Keep going. I've only got one more.
Hit it.
Next one is I am invincible, which is get the honey fairy.
Or if it was my trophy, it would be I am invincible? Question mark. Yep. All right. Give us another one.
This one is you are ugly when you're angry, and that's get killed by the frowning eggplant.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Well, then I'll just go ahead and give you my last one then, because mine is when you pick up the eggplant, my trophy's called The Hunger Games, and that is pick up the eggplant because he makes you hungry. Justin is now showing us pictures of catfish.
Yeah, so it's a Wells catfish, also known as the wallerfish.
Okay. Hey, have I ever told the story about my high school girlfriend being a catfish grappler?
No.
Probably not.
Wow.
Well, that's the end of the story. But she did the thing where you get in the water. Yeah. And
you stick your hand down.
If people listening didn't think we were country enough on this podcast yet, now they know we are truly redneck down here. Sorry, Tyler, for bringing you down with us.
Hey, you know, I see that stuff, and I feel like that would be a cool experience to have.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Justin, have you ever done it, Justin?
I've never done it. I really don't have any interest in sticking my hand into muddy holes, to be honest.
Yeah, and letting a fish just bite down on it. Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah, does it, like, are they gumming you? Like, what's going on when they do
that? Kind of. It's not, they're not like, you know, they're not, they don't have like razor sharp teeth or anything, so they're not. Really
is that
much.
Like stingrays where like you can touch their mouth and it's just like bone but it's not
it's hard sharp. But it's not really sharp.
Right. Yeah, it's just like pressure, it doesn't pierce you.
Yep.
Just hope there's not a snapping turtle.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem. I mean, you could stick your hand in there and it could be something that's not a catfish.
They could take your hand off.
I was gonna say your hand's mangled.
You could lose a finger or something. Anyways.
I'll give my trophy, my other trophy, which is I told the witch doctor I was in love with her. And that is beat the witch doctor and rescue Princess Leilani.
Nice. All right, Tyler, you got any left? I'm out.
I have one more. It was just, it's a Dennis Leary reference. How about this heat, which is get the fire.
Nice. All right. So on the Bit Brothers Retro Gaming Community Facebook page, we got several. Now, Stephen Kyer, he gave us several achievements, but no names for trophies.
Cut out for us.
Got to give us some names. Come up with some creative names. I'll read the achievements, though. Clear stage X with hammer only. Skateboard through a level. There you go. Skateboard through a level without slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk likes you.
Grabbed all fruits in a stage.
Grabbed all fruit?
Yeah, in a stage.
Cornucopia.
There you go. Found the bonus stage.
I'm running dry here.
Yeah.
I'm parched again.
Cleared a stage by grabbing 5 or less fruits.
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, I was going to say parched. But yeah,
the keto diet. No fruit.
Cleva, Jesse Cleva Vidal says, I don't have a trophy, but I would like to say that Mario can beat up Sonic. That is all. Always important. Always important.
It's good to know.
Nick DeMarco, does a body good? Fill your life with a bottle of milk. And I regret nothing. Falling into the ocean. Andrew Zeismer has one. Platforming guru, make it past the falling platforms in area 8, round 3. They are spread out so far and at such intervals that you can't stop running for a second. Plus, you have to dodge / kill floating bats at the same time. It was truly a nightmare for Paul and I. Peter, oh boy, Peter, I'm sorry. Your last name, I'm probably going to butcher it. Olenich, maybe? Tony Hawk trophy.
Justin, when you're worried about butchering the last name, just a little pro tip for you. Don't like say it 4 or 5 different times.
Say
it
multiple different times. Well, yeah, in different ways. Nail it once.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is if you do nail it, you're only going to nail it one of those 5 times. All right.
And John Wedgeworth says, Pineapple Express, only get pineapple fruits in a stage. And Ryan Scully finishes us out with Wonder Boy. Clear the stage without killing an enemy.
Wonder Boy, what are the secrets of your powers? I didn't know there was pineapples in the game. Which one's a pineapple?
They're like green.
I know what. Yeah, now that I think about it, that's what it is. Green and white. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, I think we should perhaps rate this game.
No game is worthy until the dudes have spoken. It's time for the game rating.
All right. How should we rate this game?
How about a type of herb?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give it cilantro. Because in the right scenario, cilantro works wonders. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. You know, this game... Every now and then, I would break it out. I'd play my 20 minutes over the years, and it's like, that's exactly what I wanted. Sometimes I would break it out, though, and I'd be like, what in the world was I thinking? So, just like cilantro, sometimes I put a little cilantro on something, and I'm like, oh, whoa, why did I put cilantro on that? So, I'm going with cilantro.
I'm going to go with mint. It's sweet, and it tastes really good, but you don't want... You can get a little too much.
It can get bitter.
And I think
you go too hard on mint.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this game is it's a great game, it's a fun game, but it's a little too long.
Yeah. It
goes on a little too long.
All right.
I'm gonna go with garlic. Similar reasons to what Justin said, in that I feel like it's good at almost any time. Sometimes it can be a little too much garlic and then it's all you're tasting. It's like again. In the right quantities, it's just right. And it can do what you need it to do.
A little bit goes a long way with both Adventure Island and garlic. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. I like it. That's pretty good. I must say, Tyler, usually the guests, they fumble a little bit with our game writing, but you must have been practicing. So
nailed it. Knock it out of the park. He was thinking about herbs.
I had thought you guys were going to go with fish, and I was racking my brain around that because of our catfish discussion. And I think
that
no
would have been a little... I think that would have been a little too on the nose, so you lucked out.
You're right. I remember your most recent episode about Battletoads, and it's like, nope, can't even be in like the realm of the topic.
Yeah, nope.
Right.
Exactly. All right, let's see. Let's get some feedback. Ready?
It's time for D-Patter feedback, because when you're a D-Patter, you're a D-Patter for life.
All right, Justin.
All right, we got quite a bit of feedback on Bit Brothers Retro Gaming Community. Nick DeMarco starts us out with, One of the first NES titles I played as a kid after Super Mario Brothers. So repetitive in the boss fights, but great music, fun, overlooked game. Chris Vanderhoff says, Gauntlet 2 was a great follow-up to Gauntlet.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Tyler, I get it. If you're listening to this episode without knowing that we switched our podcast schedule around, the game music at the end of last episode was obviously Gauntlet 2. Congratulations.
Yeah. Great game, but way too long. Wonder Chris Diekman says, I'm on the fence. I think it's a solid game, but honestly, the sequels improved much the form... improved upon... Peter Martin says, never played it, but always saw it in the KB toy store and always thought the cover art looked cool. Jay Jorgensen says, I feel like this arcade game was a staple on Nick Arcade.
Yeah, actually, I feel like he's
that's
right.
That's a good call.
I feel like they did play this a lot on that show.
That and like Gradius.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, Peter. I'm just not even going to try your last name.
No, try about three or four new ways, please.
Great pick, dudes. Played it plenty as a kid, and I own it now. It's incredibly challenging. I never made it past the third level. Making it priority to collect items that keep the timer going is a buzzkill. On a side note, I have listened to every episode and listened to new ones ASAP. With that being said, I wanted to know what you guys look like. I found some videos on YouTube. Kind of wish I didn't. Not saying you dudes are weird looking. I just feel like I should have kept your appearance veiled. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Anyways, keep up the good work. Wait, one last thing. I took a family vacation to Tennessee 3 years ago. Smoky Mountains. Why so many locals cut the shirts off their sleeves off their t-shirts? Not judging. Love the area so much I would like to retire there. Just being from New York and living in Savannah, I have never seen that particular fashion.
Okay.
Well, Peter, glad to hear that you've listened to every episode, and unfortunately I'm sad to hear that you probably won't listen to any more now that I've butchered your name. You know, here's the thing. In Tennessee, you live by the creed. Sun's out, guns out.
That's right.
Cut those sleeves off.
Yeah, so I will say that I've got several shirts with my sleeves cut off. That's just the way we roll. But here's the thing, okay? Being from New York, you may not experience this. In Tennessee, you can walk out the door in the morning and it be 43 degrees, okay? And then 2 o'clock or in the afternoon rolls around and all of a sudden it's 97. So what are you going to do? You got to start stripping off, but you can't go shirtless because no shirt, no shoes, no service. So what do? You just start removing pieces of your shirt. So you just get rid of the sleeves and you get down to just the, you know, just the essentials. Shirts end up that way. And then, you know, once you got them that way, you might as well keep wearing them. Plus we got really sweet tribal tattoos and stuff down here and you can't show those off with the sleeves.
That's true.
I got another point on his thing here. Yes, we probably should have never put videos up. But if we ever do put more videos up, I'll be sure to go sleeveless and we look different now. Yes. I promise we look different now. Justin's got a mustache. actually, I probably look the same, but there you go.
All right. Yeah, I have to do the mustache. Well, to do any facial hair, I have to do either the mustache or no facial hair. Because the masks I have to wear, they have to make a seal on your face. They can't make a seal on your face if you've got a beard.
Can you seal with a mustache?
Anyway. Yeah, because it doesn't go all around your mouth. It goes around your nose.
Okay.
Just like this.
Could you do handlebars? Sorry. Could you do handlebars? If they just stopped like, if they stopped like here?
Might be too long. Yeah, you can do it if they stop there.
Okay. All right. Cool. Sorry.
Aaron Thompson says, what? No Gauntlet 2, but Warrior needs food. Aaron Hickman says, I liked it better when it was called Wonder Boy. You would, Aaron. You would.
Jerk.
John Wedgeworth says, I love it. So much nostalgia for me. Dan Basciglia says, I never got good at these games. I can crack the code for most platformers, but something about the super slidey physics approach was so tough for me to get my head around.
Hey, remember that like 10 minutes I spent fumbling over my words trying to say something about the physics? Dan nailed it in like one little paragraph. Just that's what I was trying
that.
To say.
Just go with that. Yeah.
So let's just cut that and put it back where I was trying to talk before.
Trevor Franklin says, we had a great time with it growing up. It always felt like the slightly lesser, slightly creepier, way harder step cousin to Super Mario, and that was okay by us. Sean Lane says, my friend likes the series because his take is that Master Higgins is actually Filipino, and being Filipino, he wants more representation in video games. But this isn't exactly canon. All right.
It is if you want it to be. I mean, I grew up thinking lots of weird things about video games that are probably not true.
Yeah. And Gabe Van Gilder says, I love Wonder Boy, but never played these games. And that's it for Facebook.
Score. Feedback. All right. Well, we do
a lot
have
of feedback.
A couple of voicemails.
Okay.
Now, you'll notice lately with the voicemails, they've been getting better, right? We've not been getting all these weird voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I've been screening them. But guess what I did not do this week?
Yes.
I did not screen them.
Love it.
So,
awesome. Love it.
Let's see what happens. All right, here we go. Hold on. My AirPods are screwing it up.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Dudes, what is up? It is JZNES back again. You guys are talking about some cousin stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah, pretty challenging game. It starts off kind of deceptively easy, but you go along and it gets harder and harder, and you just have to get really good. Otherwise, you know, you just die and that's it, and you're pretty much over. The music's good, the graphics are pretty good, you know, but the gameplay is just challenging as all heck. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the game or whatever. I didn't get very far into it, but maybe you guys did. Maybe you guys are a lot better than I am, because I don't really play that many NES games anymore because they're brutally challenging. So, yeah. But, you know, I play them from time to time to comment on this stuff. But, yeah, that was pretty hard. I don't think I could ever beat that game or the other. There's three of them on the American NES, but I know there's another one on the Famicom, I believe, or maybe that's on the Super Nintendo. I don't know. Anyway, not much else to say about the game. JZ NES, saying keep it classic. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Jay-Z.
You know what Jay-Z failed to do?
What? Tyler, you got anything you want to shout out?
No, I don't have any personal, like, things that I'm involved in or anything like that. But, you know, I'm just a big fan of you guys. I'm a big fan of the Bit Brothers. I've been following you guys for a long time. And I was talking about this at the beginning, just with COVID going on and stuff like that. Podcast is just, like, a great way to, like, escape. And especially, you know, being quarantined and stuff like that. So I appreciate all the hard work you guys do and sticking with this and keeping things moving in the right direction, and you know, wish you guys the best.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, for you guys, yeah. Put into this.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I feel like 2020 was a tough year, and you know, even from our recording standpoint, we didn't get to record as much as we wanted to. Hopefully, this year we're going to get back to recording. I think we've already recorded a couple episodes in this month, and we got another one scheduled, so I think, you know, this year we're gonna have a lot more episodes hopefully out, so that's gonna be good for everybody. But thanks for to big fans like you, Tyler, who stick around and support us all this time.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, man.
I'm back,
Michael. Bro. You back with us?
Yeah, sorry about that.
We got to make fun of your AirPods for, you know,
yeah,
a few minutes.
Yeah, I figured you probably wouldn't. Yeah. It felt so good being so free and cordless, you know? Now look at me. I'm all stuck.
Yeah.
Just like you
down
guys.
Down here slumming it with us corded people.
Slumming it. Yeah, that's right. I'm slumming it. I think we will have more episodes probably in the first quarter of this year than we had all of last year at this rate.
Yeah.
So we're looking good. We're looking good.
Yeah, you guys are flying these days. And I know that you guys had a lot of transitions, as did most of us. So,
yeah.
Good up, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, we got two more voicemails. You want?
We got okay.
Is that okay?
Two more. I thought we only had two total.
We got three total.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
All right, here's number two. Okay, so I guess technically we have That's what I get for not screaming. This one's just an empty one.
I love it.
Just
I
an empty it. One. So we do only have two.
The good old days. Yeah. Reminds me of the good old days when we used to just have nothing but silent voicemails.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. We're one for two. Let's see what see if the third one is any better.
Hey, dudes, it's Rob. I just wanted to say, first of all, I apologize. I have no memories about, you know, Adventure Island or anything like that. I never had it as a kid.
Oh,
all right. I just wanted to come on here and just congratulate you guys on 8 seasons of Two Dudes in a Nest. Man, that is incredible. And also, I just wanted to thank you guys for just everything. Thank you for the great content over the years. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for, you know, always helping out the Retro Junkies and... you know, and thank you for the most recent Rest Junkies episode and coming on there and calling in, always being so supportive. And guys, I just want to say I had an absolute blast talking Turtle City with you guys. So as a friend and as a fan, I just want to say that you guys are doing an awesome job. And just appreciate you guys. Here's to 8 seasons and many more. All right, talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Rob. I didn't know this was going to turn into like a toot your own horn fest at the end of this podcast, but
yeah.
Between Tyler and Rob, thank you guys. We definitely need the encouragement every now and then.
Absolutely. We'll take it.
And Rob's a wiener in my book. I mean, a winner in my book.
Yeah.
He's also a hoser. All right.
All right.
Whew. Okay.
So.
Did Tyler get to shoot? Tyler, are you shouting anything out? Or is that what I missed while my headphones were off?
We talked about it, yeah. Okay. But cool. If he's come up with something in the last 3 minutes and you want to shout it out, you can.
No, I have nothing. I have no like personal projects or anything I'm directly involved in, so I just sent it right back to you guys.
Okay,
kind of what Rob touched upon. 8 seasons, wow. I mean I know I've listened to them all as well. It's easy to do because, you know, Nintendo is something that was a big part of my life growing up. 8 seasons, wow guys, that's awesome.
Well,
and, yeah, I appreciate dedication also.
To knock ourselves down a peg, they're arbitrary seasons. I mean, we just cut them off and start them whenever we want.
That's true.
But there's probably about
year 7.
Yeah, it's year 7. So they're almost in line with the year.
Yeah.
It's any time. Yeah. Basically, we cut them off anytime we take a break from recording. So if it's a few weeks for difference in recording, we'll make a new season, whatever. But yeah, it is pretty much it's a pretty good accomplishment. That's a long time to be podcasting, really.
Yeah.
Not to mention that show that we took off the air that was before that, where we talked about stupid stuff like Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Although I still
think, classic.
No offense, Justin, to you now, but I still think that was your crowning achievement, was the Cool Runnings intro that you did. Yeah.
Feel the rhythm, feel the ride. Look out now, it's podcast time.
That's right.
I think I need to bring that back for an episode.
I think you should too.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
Hey, we could just let's swap out the "Hey Justin, what's up, man?" and for that every episode, I'd be fine with that.
All right.
I don't think the listeners.
Well, you
like
can
that
find us. No, probably not. You can find us on Facebook, the Brothers Retro Gaming Community. You'll find us as well as the Genesis Germs, and all the commenting and posting from members there. And then you can always call us at
775-7-RETRO-1 or 775-773-8761. Spoiler alert, that's the same number, just, you know, one's got alphanumerics in it. We also have a new website. It's not really new, we've had it for a long time. It's just Nick Stevens finally got off his butt and fixed it up for us. That's bitbrosnetwork.com. So you can go there, see our shows. There's links to things, I think. If Dick set it up right, there should be links to things, and you can listen to episodes there and all that good stuff. I'm just kidding.
And you can see our pictures.
Nick did a good job. Yeah, you can see our pictures.
You can see our pictures.
Apparently, Justin and I are really into chickens. I did not know that we both had the same profile picture on our website, but.
That's pretty funny. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, I'm holding a chicken and you have a t-shirt about chickens.
Yep. So we really like and we talked about chickens on this episode actually. So
yep. All right.
Big into chickens. All right. Shout out to the Wee Dude, Nico's 8-Bit Stereo on YouTube. Shout out to the Fox Dude for our awesome Two Dudes logo. Shout out to Dave from Namo Gamo for our awesome Bit Brothers logo, which we never shout him out. We should. Thank you, Dave. And if you want to donate to us, we do have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/bitbros.
Alrighty. Well, Tyler, thanks for coming on. It's been a great
thanks, Tyler.
Great show. Guys.
Very good. Awesome. Very good guest. Thank you. All right, here comes the music.
I hope everyone else thinks the same.
Oh, they will. They will. You'll be people will be asking you to do a podcast in no time.
Absolutely.
You got to start your own now. All right.
We'll see about that.
All right.
Next game music, which is surprise, surprise, Gauntlet 2. Here you go. Bye, everybody.